What makes her glad? What makes her sad? What turns her on? What turns her off? Because the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says there that you have to dwell with her according to knowledge. Amen. And so once you get the information about her, now you dwell with her according to wisdom. Now let me show you something. When I talk about wisdom. So let's say that you know what time of the month it is that she normally is not too pleasant. The time of the month that she's kind of snappy. Are y'all with me here? So because you have identified that through wisdom, what you do is begin to adjust yourself. When you see certain changes in her demeanor, in her attitude, in her behavior, you adjust yourself. So you can dwell with her now according to your wisdom. You know how she does or what she does during this particular period of time in her life. And so therefore, with your understanding of that, instead of you blowing your cork, instead of you getting all upset and mad and angry with her, you understand through wisdom how you are supposed to adjust yourself to live with her through that week. Amen. And then ladies, you got to have wisdom also, because you got to be able to know when to talk to the man and when not to. See, because of the fact that you guys are detail oriented, you want to make sure that when you start talking, you want to get it all out. You want the man to hear everything you got to say. You dot every I, you cross every T, put in all the punctuation marks. And there are instances when you start talking and don't let up until you got it all out. Now, here that you told the man, I just want to tell you a couple of things. An hour later, he has not gotten a word in edgewise. And then you wonder why it is that the man seemingly many times don't want to talk to you. It's because of the fact that you're not having a conversation. You're doing a monologue. Am I still doing all right? And so here it is that the man is frustrated. He's disgusted because he, watch this, he really does want to talk. The problem is he don't always want to talk about what you want to talk about. So what's wrong with you sometimes being interested in some of the things he wants to do and some of the things he wants to talk about? In fact, let me show you something. Do you know one of the major reasons why a lot of married couples end up in feuds? One of the major reasons why, and this has been statistically proven, one of the major reasons is because of the fact that you can't even decide on what you're going to do with your leisure time. That is one of the major reasons why people even divorce. So what? Let me show you. You ladies, y'all say, honey, let's go out to eat tonight. He say, hey, no problem, sound good, let's go. All right? And you say, you pick the place. Wherever you say, that's where we going. So you jump on in the car, after dressing up, get on in the car, roll on out. He pulls up to the place that he's chosen, and you say, I ain't want to come here. Help me, come on, help me, help me, help me. Can anybody say that's right? I know that's right. And so here it is, you told the man to pick the place. And even after he picked the place, then you jump up and say, no, that ain't it. So what do? Y'all sit there in the parking lot of the place now arguing. Fussing over where you gonna eat. And watch this, the Bible says, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, then ask what you will. Now watch this here. Could it be then that a lot of the things that should be taking place in your household does not take place because of the fact that the two of you just can't agree? Been married for 20 years. Can't agree. Your home is a place of toleration and not celebration. And the place where you live ought to be a place where whenever you walk in the door, you are automatically celebrated by your wife and celebrated by your husband. There should be praise for you in that house.
It should not be a place of squabble because, sweetheart, let me tell you something. You're supposed to set such an atmosphere that if that man was a fireman, he ought to be thinking that as soon as he get off work every day, that there's a fire at his house. He ought to be in a direct hurry to get to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because you create such an environment in that household that you have made the household Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem city, Salem, peace. So you make your home the city of peace. Because let me tell you something, ladies. What a man is distinctively looking for is peace. That's all a man wants. Amen. He just wants some peace when he walks through the door. Amen. And here it is, watch this, that you won't give him no peace because, in fact, sometimes you are so intent on making sure that you tell him the things that's on your mind, you will follow him from room to room. Stay with me, baby. Amen. And the reason why he don't want to talk to you because he don't see you as his wife right now. He sees you as a nag. And the Bible says it is better to dwell on the rooftops than to live in a wide house with a contentious woman. Y'all quiet up in here. Come on, am I still doing all right, sis? Amen. All right. Okay. Okay. So therefore, what's got to happen, sweetheart? Remember, your house is built through what? Wisdom. And the Bible says every wise woman, Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman builds her house, but a foolish woman tucks it down with her own hands. So sometimes, watch this, where you blaming this man for the reason why your marriage is falling apart, and it may not necessarily be him. It could be that you don't wisely know how to live with this man, that you have not really applied the knowledge. You've learned some things about him, and rather than you really doing the things that you know you should do to help the man, you keep on nagging him and won't be there for him. Y'all quiet up in here. Amen, amen, amen. Because let me tell you something. You're supposed to be this man's main support system. Oh, my God. Let me show you. Y'all getting quiet on me in here. Is that because y'all just listening? Oh, okay, all right. Okay, good. Okay, then let me show you something. All right, let's go back to the side again. He opens up the man's side, and what does he pull out? A bone. He pulls out a rib, and there he makes the woman. Now, that gives us some significance as to what that bone is all about. First of all, the bone is very strong. It's very strong. Why? Because it takes a lot of pressure to be exerted against a bone before it'll break. So therefore, you women are very, very strong. Amen. Now, I know some of y'all men want to point me to 1 Peter again and say, well, the Bible says she's the weaker vessel. That's not what it says. If you read the passage correctly, it says giving honor unto her. Now first, let's go there. Giving honor unto her. So you're supposed to honor this woman. A man will only treat with value that which he sees as being valuable. Amen. And so that's the reason why a lot of men spend more time polishing their car than they do their wife. Amen. Amen. Why? Because they see the car as being valuable. And watch this. And because you've lost the value of your wife. See, a lot of y'all young brothers in here right now, many of you, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, probably at this point, there may be that no man has yet to teach you the value and worth of a woman. And that's the reason why a lot of women are only seen as sexual objects by men, because they were never taught how valuable she really is. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? And that's something that needs to be taught to a man. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. So here it is now that this bone comes out and she's strong. She's strong. Are you hearing me? She's strong. Watch this. The Bible says, giving honor to her as what? As unto, as if she were the weaker vessel, Not that she is, as if she were. Now, let me show you an argument, and then I'm going to be done with you in a minute. Think about this here. Because if for the argument, she was weaker, all right? There are tenses in words. And because there are tenses in words, there are three tenses to every word. Are you with me? All right. So, for the sake of the argument, if she was weaker, then we got other words that we have to deal with on either side. So before weaker, there is what? Weak. Then there's what? Weaker. Then there's what? Weakest. Oh, y'all got it down. Okay. Let's go to the lesson again. All right. There's what? Weak. Then there's what? Weak. Then there's weakest. Okay. So, again, for the sake of the argument, if she is weaker, before there is weaker, there is weak. And if she is weaker, somebody got to be weak. Are y'all hearing me? So where you want to call her weaker, remember she came from a weak vessel. The woman is not as weak as you pretend, because the Bible says, Proverbs 31:25, the Bible says there that strength and honor are her clothing. She dresses up in strength. And then doctors will tell you, if a man try to have a baby one time, it'll kill him dead. But here you got a woman having 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 babies and still going strong. What's weak about that? The Bible says that she's a man's helper. And in order to be a helper, either she has to be of equal or greater strength to be able to help. Our problem is that sometimes we are so threatened by the fact that this woman got some strength and that she's smart and she has some intellectualism about her. We are so intimidated by that, we don't want to give her the room to be who she is. Almighty quiet on me again here. Come on now. Amen. Amen. Because a woman, watch this, she don't function very well, Bishop. She don't function well when it is that she's not considered to be important or significant. A man is supposed to make that woman feel like she's the only woman. Are you hearing me here? Amen. Listen, there should not be another woman in the congregation that you always putting up in her face. You shouldn't be telling her, you know what, if you could just be like Sister Grace over here, you know, hey, well, look, you know, and see, because after a while, inside, your sister, your wife was saying, hey, Sister Grace, you don't be bringing her up to me no more. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Because watch this. Sister Grace might be pretty. Sister Grace might have all the intelligence. Sister Grace might have a good job, drive a good car and all that kind of stuff. But the real deal is Sister Grace may not want to put up with your junk the way your wife has all these years. Your wife has looked at you and all that junk that you do, all them weird ways you got. And she's dealt with it all these years. And then you gonna throw Grace up in her face? Y'all still here? Oh my God. I'm trying to get back to this bone, okay? And so the bone comes out. And so, dear sister, the first thing I told you that you need to be a man's greatest support, because first of all, the bone makes up the skeletal structure. It makes up the skeletal structure of the entire body. So therefore, it supports all the ligaments, all the muscle, all the tissue, all the sinew hinges on the bones of the body. Therefore, it gives the support for everything else in your body. Therefore, ladies, you are supposed to support this man. If there's nobody else on the planet who will be a cheerleader for this man, you need to be the one. You should be able to say, baby, I don't care what go down in this life. It's you and me against everybody else. I don't care what nobody else think about you, nobody else say about you. You mine. And because you mine, I am right here for you. I know you can do it, baby. And so therefore, because you can do it, I'm going to support you. What you need me to do to help you? Because ladies, let me tell you something. Do you know what a man needs? A man needs affirmation. A man needs to be affirmed by a woman. He needs to hear from you that you believe in him. Uh-oh. He needs to know that you're going to be right there supporting him. Listen, when he brings stuff to you, he don't need all your negative report. The man needs to be able to hear from you. Yeah, baby, we can do that. Let's go for it. Amen. Let's try it. I believe God in you. Oh, my. Ladies, y'all was hollering when I was talking to the men. Where y'all at? Y'all was standing up flagging me just a minute ago. It was just 30 seconds ago. Y'all was flagging me. Where you at? So it makes up the skeletal system, his support team. You're supposed to be his greatest cheerleader. Amen, somebody. Not only his greatest cheerleader, you're supposed to be his greatest intercessor. Because you ought to be on your face before God continually for that man, hearing from God for that man. Because watch this here. Oh, Lord, let me go to the next one. Then I'll come back to that thought, okay? Make sure you tell me I got a thought right there, all right? Okay, so the bone also does what? Makes up the rib cage. It makes up the rib cage. The rib cage encloses what? The heart. So therefore, you got to protect a man's heart. Because ladies, where he might present himself as being strong, powerful, and virile, and all that kind of stuff, the real deal is that this man, really on the inside, is very fragile. A man has a major ego that needs to be protected. Oh my gosh. Now, ego is not altogether bad, because ego was given to a man by God. Oh yes, it was. Amen. Because the ego becomes the fuel and the strength for his vision. Because without it, you take away his inner ability to respond to life. So he needs his ego. It just needs to be sanctified. See, and the real deal is that you need to learn. You need to learn how to stroke his ego. Come on now. Amen. You need to learn how to stroke that man's ego. See, that's the reason why a lot of times he don't want to be around you, because you have not learned how to stroke the man. Come on now. Now watch this here. Right there, listen, you down at your job, and while you're down on your job, you ain't got no problem going and getting a cup of coffee for Mr. Goldstein. Your husband asked you for something. You said, don't you know I'm tired? I don't work just like you. You better go ahead and get your own coffee. Gotta get an amen in the house here somewhere, huh? So you're not doing anything to really bolster this man's confidence even in himself. And so after a while, if a man allows himself, he can end up beginning to think he's even a failure. Depression sets in. Why? Because the very person who's supposed to be there making sure that he's always stroked don't give him nothing. Now, that's the reason why down on the job, the devil raises up Delilah. Because watch this. Because many times the man ain't really looking for sex. What he's looking for is affirmation. And because of the fact that Delilah affirms him, Delilah notices the fact that he bought some new clothes. Delilah notices the fact that he got a new haircut. Delilah notices all the little things about him that you refuse to look at anymore. Because why? Because you take him for granted. He's just become your old man. Oh my gosh. And so therefore you don't do anything to affirm the man anymore at all. And that's the reason why when he comes home, he has stopped bringing his emotions home. When he comes home, he brings no feelings anymore. He don't want to touch you. He don't want to be affectionate. Why? Because you give him nothing. See, understand this. You ladies are given by God to be responders. You're responders, no doubt about that. But even though, watch this, you are a responder and you are a receiver, in receiving, there's giving. And sometimes you ladies don't want to give to the man what he really needs. Why? Because you're waiting for him to give you what you want. And you have purposed in your heart and in your mind that until he does what I want him to do, I ain't doing nothing. You are out of order. Are y'all still here? Amen. So therefore, you got to protect this man's heart because it's what? It's fragile. All right? And then the third thing, you got to protect his mind because the bone also makes up the skull. And the skull protects the brain. So you got to protect his mind. You got to remember this, ladies. The reason why he's in your life is because, first of all, you standing at the altar saying, I do, meant that this man is qualified to be my leader. Amen. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because remember, your father standing at the altar with you takes your hand and puts it into the hand of this man. So when the father does that, it is significant of the father transferring responsibility from himself to this man. So now this man is responsible for you. And watch this. Therefore, that's why also you change your name. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You really ain't going to like me now. Huh? Yeah, you change your name. Why? You take on his name because he's now responsible for you. Amen. And so therefore, watch this. When you take on his name, shouldn't be no hyphen in it. Thank you. All right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Your name is not Carmen Stevens hyphen Johnson. Your name is now Carmen Johnson, period, the end. You are no longer a Stevens. Oh, my gosh. Read Genesis chapter 5. The Bible says, and they were both called Adam. Oh, my. They were both called Adam. It was Adam, the male, who called her Eve. God didn't name her. He did. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. You will find out that God did not give that girl her name. It was Adam. Her husband named her. And I guarantee you, he didn't put no hyphen in it. Are y'all still here?
Yeah.
So you got to protect this man's mind because he has got to think for the both of you. Now watch this. He is leading you. Now, he's a visionary. Because he's a visionary, he's a logical thinker. And he also is a tunnel vision seeker. He watches things, tunnel vision. He sees things one way. You are more detail oriented. Yes, that's right. Stay with me, Milton. Don't leave me, Milton. All right? Okay. A man of tunnel vision, he sees things one way, and he's supposed to because he's got to keep his eyes on the vision. He's got to keep his eyes on what God gave him to do so he can only look at things one way. That's why the greater portion of emotion, when God took Eve out of Adam, the greater portion of emotion was given to her because he don't need somebody falling apart in a crisis. Oh, God, I wish y'all would pray with me here. So therefore, the greater portion of emotion is given to the woman. The man is an illogical thinker. A woman is an emotional feeler. Oh, Lord, I know. I understand. Okay. So the man's supposed to look straight ahead. Now, the woman in the man's life is supposed to be the what? Because she's detail-oriented. As the man is taking steps toward the vision, the woman should be saying, watch out for this, honey. Watch out for that, baby. Don't step right there. Wait a minute. Hold up, baby. Step back for a moment. Step back. No. Look out over there. Look. Here come one from behind us. You supposed to be watching all the stuff the man ain't looking at. You're supposed to be that man's warning system. And to make sure that those things that could be potential dangers and perils and traps for your relationship, you watching out for. And making sure you keep that man from falling into a trap. I guarantee you he's tunnel vision. Let me show you why. A man walks up in a store, and when he walks up in the store, he already knows what he wants. He know how much he's going to pay for it. He go to one store. Come on now. He ain't going to no three or four different stores looking for nothing. Come on in here, brothers. Where y'all at? Come on, give me a big amen right about now. You know what you're doing. You know where you want to go. Exactly right. You know exactly what you're looking for. You go to that one store. You already checked it out. Here's what I'm going to pay for it. That's it. You ladies go to 5-6 different stores. See, that's the reason why I've got a lot of time the guy don't want to go shopping with you. He know what the deal going to be. He know that he got 5 or 6 stores to deal with. That's why he'll wait outside in the car. And then after you've been to 5 or 6 stores, you go back to the first store. And this brother is saying to himself, my God, I'm tired of this here. We done walked all over this mall, and you mean to tell me you come back to the place where you could have gotten it in the first place and stayed there the whole hour? Y'all, huh? But brother, let me tell you something. That's the way she's geared. She's made like that. Amen. Amen. Because she's always looking for the best for less. A woman's favorite word, sale. Are y'all hearing me? Let me give you this final thought, and then I'm going to be done with you. Because think about this here. Now, I told you that she's supposed to take care of what? Of his mind. So that means, ladies, sometimes you got to learn how to minister to that man's mind. You got to minister to him. Because the unfortunate thing is this here. Even though a lot of men have not been taught the worth and the value of a woman, yet at the same time, there are many women who have never been taught how to minister to a man. Ministering to a man is just that. It is a ministry, and you need to be about the ministry of ministering to your man in your life. Amen. You got to learn all his ways. Learn what he really needs from you. And watch this. And stop trying to give him what he don't need. Because you know what? When you give a person something that they don't need, it's just like an individual who's been out in the desert for 3 days, come in off the desert, need a drink of water, and you give him a peanut butter sandwich. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. And so that's exactly what happens when you present to someone something they don't need. So you got to learn how to minister to the man. So let me give you this here. So let me help you out, ladies. So because for some of you in here, well, first of all, what you need to do is go shopping. A man is visual. And he is probably at this point sick and tired of your flannel nightgown. The man is visual. He wants to see you. And he wants to see you in a perked up light. So watch this. And then also what you need to do, some of y'all, stop going to bed with them rollers in your head. Y'all mighty quiet over here in this session. Amen. Amen. Sometimes take them rollers out your head and prepare yourself for your man. Let me tell you something. Do you know what? Delilah has something going on. Delilah had to have been a bad...